Support comes from the St. Louis Chamber Chorus. Season 68 concludes at John Burroughs at 3 p.m. on May 26th with the United Nations commissioned Voices of Today by composer Benjamin Britten, featuring youth and adult singers. Tickets at chamberchorus.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha.
This is a company that quickly got in the game. So many LLCs, thousands of homes in just a few short years. I mean, a lot of the people I talked to, I think I've talked to at least five people, said, I was getting out of a marriage, I needed somewhere to be. And it's just, they kind of land there and they're just kind of get stuck.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's affordable and they don't want to move.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Imagine that you're looking at your neighbor's house in North St. Louis County, in Florissant or Overland. The house is like many others around you. One story, a big window in the front, two or three bedrooms, and probably an unfinished basement. And it's got a lawn in front. So it's a house a small family would love to own. And that's what you might assume, that the people living in this house own it. But that assumption could very well be wrong. One reason for that is Vinebrook Homes, which is an Ohio-based real estate company we discussed last year for its buying spree of St. Louis homes, grabbing more than 2,400 of them. Vinebrook didn't amass this collection to sell, but to rent, and that has had a big impact on its tenants and cities. The Midwest Newsroom first explored the impact of Vinebrook Homes last year, and this week, its reporters are out with an update. Here to talk about Vinebrook Homes, I'm joined by Kayvon Mansouri, investigative reporter for the Midwest Newsroom. Kayvon, welcome back to St. Louis on the Air.
Good afternoon.
So before we get to the update, remind us, Kayvon, how did you first hear about Vinebrook?
Yeah, there were many stories coming out about Vinebrook Homes in Omaha. But in Omaha, we saw a story from a partner of ours. Well, not really partner, but another publication that we work with sometimes called Flatwater Free Press. And they did a story about Vinebrook Homes, how they quickly became one of the biggest landlords in Omaha. So we were interested in, you know, this company, and just we wondered where else. So we looked and we found that in St. Louis, they had bought thousands of properties. In Kansas City, they had done the same. And throughout the Midwest and in places like Memphis, Milwaukee, they had done the same. And before we knew it, we had found something like 24 to 27,000 homes throughout the Midwest and some places in the South.
Mm-hmm. Talk with us about what this company does and particularly about its business model.
Sure. Yeah, Vinebrook Homes, basically, it's sort of part of this single family rental boom. What they'll do is sort of go out and sometimes buy homes from, it could be other sort of investors, other people who own lots of homes, people who are just looking to get rid of homes. And they look in these neighborhoods that are typically what they would call, I think they call it post-industrial. But for us, you know, you can look no further than North County. If you go up there, you can, like you described earlier, one-story home probably can sleep about four people, you know, for a family. They buy that home. They fix it up to some extent. And then they start renting it. But they also can sell it if they need be, like we'll probably explore here in the future. But basically, the idea is that they buy these homes, they rent them out, and they basically that's the entire business plan. But it's been a huge sort of explosion, this new market, especially during the pandemic when interest rates were low.
Mm-hmm.
These companies bought up thousands and thousands of homes throughout the country.
Mm-hmm. And just to kind of put a finer point on this, why is what Vinebrook does with these single family homes different from, for example, you know, apartment complexes or non-single family dwellings?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's kind of weird when you think about it, because, you know, when you see an apartment building, you instantly think that's, you know, a bunch of apartments. Maybe some people own inside. But the weird thing about these single family renters and Vinebrook Homes is they come into neighborhoods and they sometimes snatch up sometimes an entire block will be owned by one company, one LLC,
mm-hmm.
and they're your landlords. This isn't a situation where, you know, they just buy it and sell. This company owns thousands of homes, and they're your landlords now. So on any given street in St. Louis, a good example up in North County, there's a street called Rex Avenue where I walked up and down, and Vinebrook and several other LLCs owned I would say probably a dozen homes on that street, some right next to each other. So that's the kind of the difference. Yeah.
And where is it that Vinebrook tends to buy these homes?
Right. So our initial investigation, we pulled a lot of data about where their homes were in our Midwest area. And what we found is that those homes are predominantly in neighborhoods of color, black and brown neighborhoods, typically low to moderate income. We see it in St. Louis. The vast majority of the homes they've bought are in North County, as we all know, one of the probably the most redlined areas, white flight. Post-white flight areas of the Midwest. And that's sort of we had a hunch when I saw the map when we put it all together. I'm a St. Louis native. I saw that's a lot of homes in North County.
Yeah.
And we look for trends in investigative reporting, and that was sort of the first hint that we got. And after we did some data analysis, it became pretty clear that that was sort of where they built by a lot of their homes are in these sort of neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about the homes themselves. The Midwest Newsroom published the first part of your investigation last year, as we mentioned earlier, and it focused on evidence you found that Vinebrook was letting these homes fall into disrepair. They're raising rents, and they're doing a lot of evicting of tenants. So that piece opened with a description of a family in St. Louis County whose rental home had a sewage problem, which Vinebrook ignored, until the sewage leaked in the basement and started backing up into the toilet and bath. And we saw images of that. Kayvon, are these conditions still an issue for Vinebrook and its tenants? What have you heard?
Yeah, just a few weeks ago, I met with another renter. Her name was Julia Cowell, and she is a mother of five with another on the way. Her husband is a disabled veteran, and they have a roach infestation in their house. Actually, it was kind of a crazy moment as I was interviewing her. I looked behind her, and there was roaches crawling up her walls.
Oh,
and this
wow.
is a pretty clean house.
Yeah.
But it's something that she had complained about to Vinebrook several times. All to say, and there were other – they had plumbing issues as well. All to say is I think since we started looking into Vinebrook, I've interviewed probably around 20 to 25 tenants and former tenants.
Mm.
And a lot of them have had very severe problems. And up until recently, I've been hearing about those, people who have, animals living in their roof and, can't get anyone to come out. Those problems are still going on. But there's also, another side of it. There's also, this sort of other side where it's not just those are the most severe, I guess I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other situations where people are just kind of living their lives and they come home and their power is shut off and they have no idea why. And it takes them 2 weeks to get it back on. So there's kind of an array of people going through very severe to very moderate issues. But all to say, yes, it's still going on. People are still struggling.
So there's a spectrum, but that spectrum lies very firmly and Vinebrook is not taking care of what it needs to do.
Right, that's what their tenants say. I mean, the tenants that we, the vast majority of the tenants we've spoken to, obviously the people who are looking to speak with, somebody, like me, who's basically, my basement is flooded with raw sewage or my outlets are sparking. It's not safe for my family to live here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're, throughout that and through the hundreds of Better Business Bureau complaints that I've read through and social media and everything, the through line is that they're not taking care of their properties.
And what have you found about why it is Vinebrook isn't doing more to maintain these homes?
It's hard to say. There's different theories. I myself tend to sort of let my sources do the talking on that and what my sources have told me. For instance, I spoke with the CEO of the Port of Greater Cincinnati, Laura Brunner is her name. And she – Cincinnati is where Vinebrook owns the lion's share of their homes. And she seems to think that there is a it's a twofold problem. This is a company that quickly got in the game. They bought thousands of homes in just a few short years. And they basically keeping up all those homes costs a lot of money and also costs people, which we know that, it's hard to get people out. But on the other side, there's theories that the more these homes fall in disrepair, the more open to these homes may be to tax breaks and things like that. Now that's a theory. There's also just I don't subscribe to anything, but a lot of the tenants I talk to just think that, you know, there's just no possible way with the amount of homes they have that they could even handle that. So so that's kind of there's several different theories, but it's hard to say for sure.
Yeah. And what is Vinebrook's side of this? I mean, has the company responded to your questions?
Yeah, they typically respond through a spokesperson. The general response I've gotten is that when it comes to customer service, they're always trying to do better. They do own a lot of houses, and they're trying to always improve that. But when it comes to sort of the general their general business, they just say they're trying to provide quality, affordable housing for people who might not have that. And that's sort of their kind of boilerplate response. I've talked to them a few times, and typically there's not much wrongdoing admitted to.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking with Kayvon Mansouri, investigative reporter for the Midwest Newsroom. Kayvon's latest investigation concerns Vinebrook Homes, an Ohio-based company that owns thousands of single-family homes in St. Louis. So insofar as the update goes, you published one into this investigation this week, and you found that Vinebrook's days of buying thousands of homes has ended and that the company is now selling these same homes. Tell us about that.
Sure. In December, the Vinebrook Homes basically put out an SEC filing that said they had a $1.2 billion debt coming due, which you can imagine, buying that many houses, you need a lot of money.
Sure, sure.
They had a $1.2 billion debt coming due that they could not afford. In their filing, they basically said, you know, they used a financial term, but they basically said, if we can't figure this out, we may no longer be a going concern, which means they might not be able to operate anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So they said in this filing, they're going to need to sell 1,700, maybe more homes to sort of tackle this debt. So what they did is they started to sort of take these homes that basically have a twin value, right? When you buy a home as a homeowner, one day you might sell it when it's worth more. But in the meantime, for Vinebrook Homes and other, and trust me, there are many other businesses that do this because it's a very lucrative market, you basically can rent them out. So you're renting them out, you're raising the rent with, you know, inflation or whatever you want to say. And then when times get hard, which one of my sources that's an expert in the single family rental field says, you can sell it for its full value. So Vinebrook's now a little bit in trouble with their debt. And now they're saying, well, we've got all these homes. Some of them are underperforming. Let's put them back on the market. Let's get rid of them. And let's try to take care of this debt.
Mm-hmm.
So they're quickly buying up homes and now they're in trouble. They're quickly selling them off.
Okay. Well, and then as far as the value of these homes mm-hmm. is concerned, there is what you've reported previously about what Vinebrook has not been doing to maintain them. But there's also something about they're actually working to decrease the value.
Yeah, so that's like kind of one of the theories. Again, you know, if your home can decrease in value, there are sometimes you can get a tax break. That's actually part of some legislation that's been put forth. But that's something I talked about with Laura Brunner in Cincinnati about. You know, these homes are decreasing in value. And not only does that bring down the value of the neighborhood, but it also can, you know, if the theory would stand correct, could also be very lucrative.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that, again, is a theory. That is just something that some people believe to be sort of the game plan.
Mm-hmm.
But it certainly is a possibility.
Yeah. Now, the possibility that Vinebrook will not be looking at this as a going concern, as you said, mm-hmm. if they were to go out of business, what would the implications be for tenants who are currently living in these in Vinebrook Homes?
Ooh, that's a big question. It's a little concerning. I think anybody would you know, if you were a St. Louisan and you know that one single company owns some odd 2,400 homes and they could just go belly up, you would wonder what happens to those houses. What happens to those tenants? Are they just out? It's not clear. In Milwaukee, there's been some conversation about that. There's worry about the amount of homes that have been purchased, and that's a smaller market
mm-hmm.
For Vinebrook. But I think that's a question that needs to be asked. You know, what happens? Do they sell to another investor? Do they sell to the people who are living there? What happens? I mean, I don't think that's I don't know how far away we are from that. I don't know
yeah.
if that's now that they've sold these houses, it could be very different. But
right.
Yeah.
So insofar as next steps go, I mean, some states and cities, as you've mentioned, the city of Cincinnati, for example, they've sued Vinebrook or proposed legislation to regulate companies that buy and sell single-family homes in particular. Mm-hmm. That's not happening in Missouri. Why is that?
Right. Yeah, there's been some federal laws proposed to basically to sort of deny companies like Vinebrook, and as I said, there are many other companies doing this, but they it would basically exempt them from getting tax breaks. In Cincinnati, as you mentioned, there was a lawsuit that was settled, and then a lawsuit because since the city of Cincinnati felt like Vinebrook was breaking those laws. It's not really clear what's going to happen in Missouri. So far as I know, there's been no action on the single family rental game. Although if you look at what Cincinnati sued Vinebrook for, breaking tenant stat laws, breaking sort of code violations. The homes that I've toured, there's a lot of similar things going on there. It's hard to say what exactly, the county, if the county's even aware. I feel like in when we did our initial investigation, I reached out to the county to ask them about, if they were aware of Vinebrook's business dealings. They didn't seem, if I recall correctly, didn't seem very aware of the company at all. Mm-hmm. Now, that's interesting to me. I feel like the county should be somewhat interested in any company that owns about 2,400 homes in North County. But there's not really much going on from what I can tell. It's at least as of now.
Yeah, and Vinebrook is also operating under hundreds of LLCs, right?
I don't know about hundreds, more than 50.
Okay.
I think during our investigation, we it's kind of fuzzy because there's so many LLCs. I remember Daniel Wheaton, our data reporter, and I just could not stop finding LLCs. We would go into these properties, look at them, and then we'd find a new LLC, and that would lead to more properties. I think in St. Louis alone, there was, I want to say, 8 or 9 LLCs, VB1, VB2, VB3, mm-hmm. VB4, that just kind of and actually, I remember I got I had an email after we published, like, I can't find any of these properties. And I'm like, here's a list of LLCs. And the guy emailed back, he's like, oh, I'm finding them now. This is crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's very, very, it's very difficult sort of web to sort of find all these properties.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I will say just last week, I was driving behind a minivan with Vinebrook logo on it. And it was the first time that I've seen it since you were talking with us last year about it. One of the things that I want to make sure that we end with is the impact on tenants. And you mentioned in the recent piece that you've written, Julia, mm-hmm. who has now a child on the way.
Yeah.
Why is it that they stay in these homes, and what recourse do they have?
So for Julia and a lot of the tenants I've talked to, it's affordable when they get in. Julia told me their rent had increased. I don't have the number right on me right now, but by a lot. They could no longer afford the home, or at least it was taking up the lion's share of their income. A lot of the people I talked to, I think I've talked to at least 5 people, said, I was getting out of a marriage, I needed somewhere to be. And it's just, they kind of land there and they're just kind of get stuck.
Yeah.
And then, it's affordable and they don't want to move.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Kayvon, for catching us up
Thank
on Vinebrook.
You.
The Midwest Newsroom is a partnership between NPR and member stations to provide investigative journalism and in-depth reporting with a focus on Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, and Nebraska. You can read Kayvon's follow-up to his investigation into Vinebrook homes at stlpr.org.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
St. Louis on the Air proudly supports local artists by using music from Life Creative Group.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, committed to conservation and careful management of the state's forests to make them more resilient and better habitats for wildlife. Choosewood.com.